This guy does a great job with 321 Sportscast, and he's been around the game of baseball his whole life. His birthday was yesterday. His name's Graham McGowan. My man, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you doing? I thought you were hanging out at Daytona for Speed Week. I was a bit jealous having to work on my birthday yesterday. So,
it's okay.
You're just living the life and living the dream for all of us.
Hey, I got to drive up to Daytona. Get that equipment out there. Do the show, then drive all the way back. It's not as glamorous as it looks. I know you're a big baseball guy. We have to start with this. You know, you've been around the sport. You cover the sport. You're an umpire. What did you think of that press conference yesterday with the Houston Astros in West Palm Beach?
I didn't know that Jim Crane had taken up stand-up comedy, actually. When he said that it had no effect on the game, I thought he was just really bringing some dry humor and waiting for a laugh. It was the dumbest comment I've ever heard. You know, we're at a point now where the players are going to have to eat everything that comes their way this year. And unfortunately, I mean, I understand the baseball justice, but that's going to mean baseball's in the ribs probably. I mean, we saw what Ryan Dempster did to Alex Rodriguez when he first came back. There's going to be a lot of that. And it's going to be, you mentioned as an umpire, there's going to be a very slippery slope and a very difficult job for those guys this year when you do have some guys that might go headhunting or looking for a reason to throw a baseball at a player that they think, cheated the game and possibly cheated them out of a chance to have a ring on their finger.
Were they sincere in their apologies yesterday?
Man, I think some of the guys realize it didn't sound to me like Altuve and Bregman, based on that they're just sorry they got caught. Mm. And, you know, everything is trying to deflect any additional stuff that comes their way. But none of that really seemed like it was, we're sorry we did this. It was just, yeah, it happened. So our bad, let's move on. And you were right, as you said, to open the show that they have to win. And they don't have Garrett Cole this year. We'll see if Zach Greinke can be an effective number two behind Justin Verlander. Does his performance stay up there as he goes up in age? I mean, this is a big year for them. Correa has to be better. He has to stay healthy. So there's a lot of question marks for them on if they can be successful on top of all the turmoil that's around them.
I love Verlander, where he's like, I should have done more. It's my favorite. So it's like, I'm a little guilty, but no, I didn't really do much. It was brilliant.
What aggravated me, and I am in no way comparing any type of domestic violence charge or accusation to this. Mm. They are not even remotely close. But this visceral reaction that he had to Osuna and other guys, this has come out about, and then to be involved in something that is heinous within the game itself, and it's a very quick kind of backhanded, yeah, I probably could have done a bit more, should have done a bit more. It's such a juxtaposition of the way that he reacts to one when he's the outside looking in, adding a bit of bravado, and you know, I'm behind this cause, and then when he's mired in the middle of it, okay, well, I wasn't the one swinging the bat, but I probably should have said a little something.
I think the thing I take out of it is I'm amazed none of these players get in trouble. Like, yeah, so what? I have to apologize and I look stupid in a press conference, but I had no suspension. I am completely fine. I'm amazed they got off scot-free. That's the part I don't get, Graham.
Yeah, and what pained me is one of my probably favorite players of the last, I don't know, decade and a half was Brian McCann, and he was there, and he gets lucky because he retired at the end of last year with the Braves, and he left after getting the ring, but he was aware of that, and there are a lot of guys that are, and the guys that are no longer with the team probably have a hell of a lot easier time than the guys that are there, and even the guys that are there now who weren't a part of that team to begin with, you know, are going to be guilty by association just because they're wearing that uniform. But, man, to give these guys that much kind of leeway to do and just open up and say, here's the deal. And they really didn't open up and say that much anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it amazes me that they were going to give them full immunity. I think it'll be interesting to see if AJ Hinch ends up with a job in the next 5 years. I think Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran may not get a job again. And I'm very interested to see how the baseball writers view this in the grand scheme of Carlos Beltran's career when it comes to a Hall of Fame vote in the next 3 or 4 years?
He was right at the end. I mean, right at the end. But then we don't know. Maybe he was doing other stuff. We don't know.
I mean, if they're saying that he was so vehemently against any players that tried to, you know, voice any disconcertion with what was happening here, I mean, you know, again, it makes you wonder what may have happened at different times. You know, it's this to me is not the steroid era. The steroid era was condoned by the commissioner for the sake of bringing life back to the game. This was condoned by, at the end, it was condoned by an owner, I think, regardless of what people think. And the way that he spoke yesterday makes me believe that. It was certainly condoned by a front office, and it was permitted to continually occur by a manager for the sake of just trying to get an advantage and win. And they, I mean, it worked, but it should be a tainted World Series from this point on. It is just as bad as the Black Sox scandal.
You know what's weird is, you know, people feel bad for the Dodgers where they lose to the Astros and the Red Sox. But now the Dodgers have Mookie Betts, who we don't know what he was doing with the Red Sox in 18. So it's all getting...
I will tell you, I feel the worst for you, Darvish, because Darvish got absolutely destroyed by the Astros in that series back in 17, to a point where players came out and said, you know, he is very hard on himself when he struggles, and that he was having a very difficult time trying to get over the fact of how bad he got rocked. And the fact that, you know, we cannot definitively say that he didn't get rocked because of this cheating scandal is really hard for me to wrap my head around, because he's a pitcher who, sure, he didn't hold a sub three or a mid, a low three ERA for more than a couple of years when he first cracked the big leagues, but he was still considered to be one of the top pitchers on the team that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that his career fell and the way that he has fallen flat since going to Chicago and trying to find himself again, you know, that part is probably the hardest for me. That's who I feel the worst for, because he was a victim of this in ways that, you know, maybe guys that cracked the bigs for the first time, got knocked around and got sent back down, never to see the bigs again, may have also been hurt by this. And there's a possibility, it sounds kind of crazy, there's a possibility of enough players like a Darvish or like guys who feel that their career earnings have been knocked because of this. We could potentially see the craziest of a class action lawsuit against the Major League Baseball team. It would be a great story for sure.
That is a great point. We're here with Graham McGowan, 321 Sportscast. Okay, as an umpire, at your different levels of being an umpire in baseball, what do you tell managers before the game about cheating? Do you say anything? Like, what happens?
Well, I think the whole point behind this is that it's already been addressed. It was addressed when the Red Sox and the whole Apple Watch thing occurred. And then they went ahead and the Astros decided to concoct this huge scheme that still boggles my mind that some intern is the one that came up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. We want to win. Let's go ahead and win. And nobody just went ahead and said, look, stop. You know, the game of baseball is it's a game that is not mired, but it is rich with so much tradition. You know where the line is. You know, I mean, we've seen the spitballs and the emery boards and pine tar, all those little things for an advantage. But you know where the line is drawn. And they absolutely were in a different zip code when it came to this line. So I think the commissioner has said enough in what he's done, the lifetime ban, or at least the, you know, a minimum 1 year of the fines for the teams. And I think we'll see some teams and owners police it themselves, where guys that are looking for work in Major League Baseball may have a hard time finding it again because of the role they played.
You never thought we'd have this conversation, did you, to start the year? Nope.
No. And what the great thing right now for Boston would be if Manfred went ahead and finished his investigation, and we are still so wrapped up around what the press conference was that maybe you can kind of sweep under the rug. But everyone's forgotten that pitchers and catchers report this. I've already reported for some teams, and it'll be everybody here by next week. We're going to have spring training baseball in everywhere but Central Florida, which is painful in itself.
Uh-huh.
And the Red Sox investigation is still ongoing. So we still don't know what's going to happen there.
No, we don't. See, I can't get over Mookie Betts, where they moved on from him. I know this isn't what about cheating, but like, I can't believe he's an MVP, helped them win a World Series, but we don't know how. And now he goes to the Dodgers. Something's going on with the Red Sox with what's going to happen moving forward, Graham.
This, you know, there's a moment here where the fact that you can be a team that has that much history wrapped around it, and you're saying that, well, we don't think we can afford to pay who is easily one of the top five best players in the game, one of the best hitters in the game, and probably the best hitter to have worn your uniform since Ted Williams back in the 40s, just saying a whole hell of a lot, and you've gone ahead and put yourself in a position that you couldn't afford to keep him. And I get you have Benintendi, who you want to keep. Bogarts is still there. Chris Sale. But you know, there's a point where, yeah, you end up overpaying for players. And this, if anything, this does show how the luxury tax works. If you're not going to, if the MLBPA is not going to allow a salary cap to be created, the luxury tax works because they didn't want to be in that 50% bracket. So at least something is there that is forcing movement and the inability to keep everybody in stack teams for a long period of time.
You live in a world where the Red Sox over the last 20 years have won 4 World Series titles and gotten rid of every single manager who led those teams. That's happened in your lifetime, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there. I heard someone say bring back Bobby Valentine, which I think would have just been hilarious.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ron Renicki's there for the year. I don't think he's going to be there for long term. I'm not really sure where you go. You know, at some point you're going to need someone to kind of hold this down. It would be interesting to see, you know, the fact that Joe Girardi is with the Phillies, that would have been so interesting if he was still unemployed and made his way to Boston.
Yeah.
I think at some point you need somebody who's a bit old school and kind of holds it tight a little bit. You know, maybe do you consider bringing a Mike Socha? Can you hire him? Would you think of going the way that the Yankees did back in the mid-90s prior to Joe Torre and doing maybe a Buck Showalter, who an old-school, fiery guy, loves his players, loves the game, isn't going to go ahead and condone this kind of junk? And I think that's where you need to go right now. And until the fines are levied and we know what's going to happen, nobody is really going to want to go ahead and put their name on that team until you know what you're going to have to deal with and work with for the next 2 and 3 years.
Well, should the fines be the same as the Astros for the Red Sox then?
Oh, man. You know, I think that the $5 million, depending on what, I mean, I think it depends on what you find. It depends on how deep the rabbit hole goes. I certainly don't, you know, I certainly think Alex Cora is going to have a very hard time ever finding work again, like I said. I think $5 million somewhere around there is probably what you're going to see, and easily multiple draft picks in the first and second round will be lost. So I don't think it's going to be vastly different than what you've seen with the Astros and the way that they were penalized.
If they were cheating just like the Astros, then the Red Sox have to be hammered in the public eye like Houston is getting it right now. Because I feel like no one's really talking about the Red Sox like they should. They need to get hammered if it turns out, if it's kind of the same findings.
And if that happens, the two teams that are going to feel so invigorated by this are going to be the Dodgers and the Yankees. Because the Yankees went through both these teams, really held serve with them for the most part, and are looking at, you know, one is our rival, one, you know, we lost to, I think, in 7 games in the ALCS the year that that the Astros won the World Series, and you're telling me that we didn't have a chance with this team that is consistently getting, you know, we're cultivating, they're maturing. The big thing right now, the Yankees don't have James Paxton for the first couple of months, kind of hurts, but, you know, I think it is very safe to say at this point that looking at a Yankees-Dodgers World Series is not very far out of the realm of real possibility.
Okay, before I let you go, buddy, and I appreciate you coming on, we're here with Graham McGowan with 321 Sportscast. They also tried to bring up this week, which people forgot about, the expansion of the playoffs. Are you in favor or against this?
I gotta wrap my mind around some of this craziness. I agree with what Trevor Bauer was saying, that the layoff really doesn't work. Trying to have a team stay dormant for a week plus really is not conducive to success. We have seen teams that are in the wild card make it all the way. And sometimes, yeah, it takes some work, but you can see them make all the way because they keep that momentum going. The wild card they created was brilliant. And I think right now, the way that we have seen those runs for that second wild card spot, we have seen, 2 years ago, four 163-game seasons because we had two teams have to play each other to figure out who was a wild card and who was going to be the division champion. I think it's great, but I think trying to inject this reality TV feel to it is a bit too gimmicky at this point for me. Figure out your time, figure out the rules that you want to change, which I think is going to be good this year with some of the pitching matchups and the three-batter minimum requirement, which I had been talking about on my podcast years ago before this was even proposed. Mm-hmm. I thought facing at least two batters was brilliant. I think it's going to help. Force guys to stay in the box and force pitchers to throw the ball. And let's get back to how we were back in the 90s when pitcher got the ball, was ready to go, and he went. We don't have all these little ticks and times and 40 seconds between pitches.
All right. I want to do 154-game regular season, cut it back, and then wild card round, best of three. And then we stay with the current teams that make the postseason. Just do best of three for the wild card round. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'm in favor of best of three, but again, you still have that layoff for the majority of teams, and that part to me is kind of hard. If you could find a way, even if you just turn it into a couple extra wild card teams, and we just adjust the way that we're playing, where everyone is still playing, that's fine. Sure, give everybody a couple of days off, but right now, if you're gonna do a three-game wild card series, it has to be a 1-2. So one game on the road for the top seed, and two games at home back to back. So that way, you can pretty much have at most a 5-day layoff, like the All-Star game, and then rock and roll, go right to it.
That's fine.
Anything more than five games to me gets really, really finicky for those teams that are off.
That's fine. End the regular season on a Thursday. Three-game playoff for wild card is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Have a day off Monday, and then Tuesday we go at it for division round. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'm good with 154. I think 154 makes sense because, you guys say that baseball is not the hardest sport to play aside from the hand-eye coordination. But, man, four games back-to-back-to-back-to-back when you're playing sometimes – 13 or 14 games in 16, 17 days plus travel. That's tough. And we saw an 18 inning game in Chicago a couple of years ago where both the umpiring crew and the teams had to travel and they were traveling to Miami and across the country. And then you're not getting, you have an 8 PM start time. You're finishing at 4:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden you have a game the next night. So I'm definitely in favor of shortening the season a little bit, and I think that would go. I think that'd be good all the way around. It also draws back from, just 162 games, 6 months. It's excessive for some of the attention spans we deal with nowadays.
And look, no one cares about the regular season, like who has the best record. It's not like the NBA. You win 73 games, it means something. Who cares if you win 100 games in the regular season for baseball? That's just my thing. Yeah. Just get in.
Yeah, I mean, last year was kind of crazy. It was kind of cool to see the first time in history that a 100-game winning team was not a division winner. We had the Red Sox and, or maybe 2 years ago, the Red Sox and the Yankees, 2 years ago rather, in 18, both won 100 games, and the Yankees were the wild card team. So it was the first time we had a triple-digit team that did not come out as a division winner, but when you get into September, it's always tough because rosters expand and the teams have nothing to play for, are putting guys in to get a look at them, and it kind of skews the numbers. But when you do have division matchups that matter and are going to decide playoff berths, and someone can play spoiler, that's when it's fun. But again, we're talking 1 month out of five.
You got some opinions, which I like. I appreciate you coming on, buddy. Are we going to celebrate the birthday this weekend at least?
Going out to dinner after an umpire clinic up in Port St. John, hoping to get actually one of the big league guys possibly coming in to be a guest instructor, which would be pretty special.
Awesome.
So hoping to get them down and then, gonna do some dinner and back to the grind on Sunday for a new week.
Awesome stuff. Graham McGowan with 321 Sportscast. You got to follow him on Twitter. My man, thanks for your help and your insight, and have a great weekend. All right, man?
Thanks for having me on, but I'll talk to you soon.